satire, and cartoons. What topics are fair game and which should be left alone? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Arrow News. Welcome in to the Arrow News special feature, and thanks for downloading us. Today, we'll conclude a conversation I had last year with Wes Olszewski, creator of the Clyde Morris comic strips you see on the Arrow News website and in our daily PropWash e-newsletter. Or, Wes, is it disrespectful to call them comic strips? I know comic books nowadays are called graphic novels.
No. I'm not that hoity-toity about what I do. It's essentially, this is a little character that I draw on the computer and I put funny words into his mouth, you know. So I have absolutely no highbrow about it at all. You can call it a comic strip. You can call it whatever you want.
All right. So Clyde Morris, who is aviation's only aunt, can be read on Arrow News and also at ClydeMorris.com, where you'll find extensive archives. And that's Clyde Morris with a K. Let me ask you, because one of the things that I think people think would be the hardest about doing a comic strip or any kind of serial comedy work would be finding inspiration. Now, I know the answer to this because I found that as I get older, more things strike me as funny or inspirational for some bit or some piece of writing than they did when I was young. You have found yourself immersed in an industry which is a font of comedy.
Well, this is true, and I often say that the cartoon strip writes itself. For example, tonight, I have a deadline tonight, and I haven't even sat down and started the cartoon strip yet because it'll just come to me. But I've always been lucky that always happens. Even through college, that always happened. The cartoon strip would just come to me. And it does. It writes itself most of the time. And when it doesn't, I have some fallbacks that I won't elaborate on, but, you know, I have some fallbacks that I can use. And also, though, as former airline captain and, you know, ATP and all that kind of stuff, and having done from the CFI to the regional airlines to the major airlines to corporate, I really have kind of seen a lot of it. And there are times when all you have to have is good sense to realize how stupid some of the stuff is that goes on. And then that's my job, is to shine a nice bright light on the stupid. And when I do that, the cartoon strip works every time.
Well, and not only that, but having done Clyde at Embry-Riddle for 10 years, you obviously developed an instinct for focusing on politically ridiculous things.
Well, yeah, I like to say that I got a bachelor's degree in aeronautical science, but I got a PhD in editorial cartooning. Because what you're doing at a university like that, especially one that has such a tight group and is so focused on the industry that they work with, is you're always performing without a net in front of the steepest critics that you can think of. Because these are people who are supposed to be teaching the guy who drew the strip about what goes on in the industry. And so, therefore, I had to focus on what goes on in the university, too. And now I've gotten to the point where I have enough experience in the industry that I can focus on what goes on in the industry. But I get a lot of help. I have a lot of readers out there who are long-time Clyde fans that go way back to the 70s, who are now in positions at major corporations and major airlines and aerospace industry corporations, and they feed me a lot of really good stuff.
Well, but on the other hand, so does Arrow News. If I just run down the list of some things I've seen become inspirations in your work in the past few weeks, I see things like user fees. Is this not a bottomless pit of amusement?
Oh, it's absolutely a bottomless pit of amusement, and it's an important issue. It's an important topic that I think you really have to bring to light to Arrow News readers. A cartoon strip does that. A cartoon strip really takes what could be an overlooked headline or overlooked issue, and it explodes it right into your eyes. It says, "This is where this is," and I give you a twisted point of view of it. Either it could really go this way, or it's coming this way. And fortunately, I've been very lucky. Normally, I shoot from the hip and hit the target every time. Mm-hmm. But that's not too hard with user fees. It's a pretty big target.
Well, yeah, and I think that it kind of ties in, at least in my mind, it ties into the huge gaffes that airline management has committed just running their own businesses in the past few months.
Well, or running their own businesses into the ground in the last few years. There was not too long ago that Northwest Airlines was making so much money they couldn't hide it. And then all of a sudden along comes 9/11, and as I like to say in the cartoon strip, they went out and filed Chapter 9/11,
which is
just a nice excuse for, oh, this is a good way for us to get out from under our how many years of bad management.
Tell me about the JetBlue thing. That has been JetBlue has been the butt of late night TV jokes now for a week or so. Hey, is that fair?
Well, it is and it isn't. JetBlue has always tried to portray themselves as, and this is my opinion because I'm an opinion guy, as being different, as being and not as stupid as other airlines. And I actually have a little personal experience with JetBlue right when they started. I found out immediately they were just as stupid as everybody else. But they've really gone a long way to try and not do those types of things. Now what they've done with their Bill of Rights is essentially they've taken the legs out from underneath a lot of politicians that were going to try to pass something official like that. And we all know that a camel is a horse designed by politicians.
Right.
And if they came up with a set of rules that they want passengers who are disgruntled or distressed to be able to rely on from airlines, you're going to get a camel. You're going to get something really nasty. And a good example of that in history is the Volstead Act. Anybody knows what the Volstead Act is? Yeah, that's the act that said what? It set up prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask anybody, they'll say, well, it said you couldn't drink. No, that's not what it said. That's what the people that did prohibition wanted. That's not what it said. When the Congress got done with it, it said you couldn't manufacture, you couldn't transport, and you couldn't sell alcohol. Didn't say you couldn't drink.
Right.
You could drink until you died, and it would be legal under the Volstead Act. And that's what would happen with a passenger bill of rights. You'd have another Volstead Act.
Well, even the tax code is set up to make it appear to low-income people like the government socking it to the rich, and then provides loopholes so that the rich, who actually fund the campaigns the next time those folks want to get back in office, still get their tax breaks. There's so many things pulling in different directions in Washington.
Well, Washington is, I live right outside of Washington, D.C. You know, if the wind shifts, sometimes the stench blows over to my house. And the thing with Washington, D.C. and a lot of things in our society, it's a good example is the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
The lottery is set up to make regular folks think they can get rich easy, and you can't. I'm sorry, you can't, okay? Do the math. A lot of things are set up that way, and there's really not a lot you can do in our society about that other than get smart, and that's part of what Clyde Morris is about. I try to take a what would be a normally bypassed or overlooked or easily overlooked issue, I try to make it so big and so funny and so comical that you start thinking about, well, wait a minute now. And that's when I've done my job.
Now, did you get preempted a little bit in your ridicule of Nancy Pelosi when the Republicans dubbed her plane Pelosi One? I thought that was one of the funniest lines of the year.
I wish I had written it. I got a chance to use it, but I wish I had written it. And I do admit that I was the first one to give her a C-130, which she richly deserves.
Well, yeah, the acoustics are bad inside, but whatever.
Oh, yeah, well, that's what those little yellow marshmallows are for.
Yeah.
So three of my better cartoon strips so far this year. And thank you, Nancy Pelosi, for that. But I try to be an equal politician jabber, you know. So I have no political affiliation. I'm sorry, if you look at my voter registration for the state of Maryland, it says no political affiliation because I'm an editorial cartoonist, and I don't think ethically I should have a political affiliation. I should be able to tease everybody.
We'll be back for more with Wes Olszewski, creator of the Clyde Morris cartoon character, in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Do you feel stimulated? Hey, that's why Congress passed the Economic Stimulus Act of 2008, so loyal Americans like yourself would feel stimulated to help rev up the economy by spending money on important stuff like new Garmin avionics. We're talking potential tax incentives, bonus depreciation up to 50% in first-year cost allowances for qualified business use equipment purchases. See your tax advisor for guidance and your Garmin dealer for one whale of a stimulus package. It's almost like your patriotic duty, huh? Garmin, follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack. My guest is Wes Olszewski, creator of the Clyde Morris cartoons you see on Aero News. While life can be full of inspiration for a cartoonist, there are some topics that just cross the line. One of those for Wes was the sordid love triangle involving astronaut Lisa Nowak.
Lisa Nowak is a Naval Academy graduate. She's a military professional. She is a professional astronaut. These people think in a way that is very goal-oriented, and if you set out to do something, you will accomplish it. That's all there is to it. Bing, bang, boom, and you do it. If she wanted to kill the other person, that lady would be dead, and we'd be talking about a mysterious death of an Air Force person in a parking lot in Orlando. We would not be talking about a plot that looks like it was put together by a jilted high school girl.
Right.
Or high school guy, either way. And so what that tells me is, and I spent some time putting handcuffs on people in earlier careers, something's not right. The pieces don't fit. These pieces don't fit. And I'm really thinking that Lisa Nowak, I hope now, will get some help because she needs it. And this is a tragic thing, and I know she's in the hands of really loving people right now, and she's going to need some help. And we're all human, and even though some of us are cartoonists and authors, and others are big-time icons such as astronauts, which make authors and cartoonists look like nothing, we're still human. We still are all made up out of the same stuff, and they say in law enforcement that you, with people, you always start out at the same level when you go out on a call or you're answering something, and you stand in front of a person, you have a very big animal in front of you. Mm-hmm. That's where you start. You have a big animal in front of you. Now, is this animal going to behave like a human, or is it going to behave like an animal? And that's, you kind of go from there. And we're all kind of the same stuff. We all have our breaking points. Nobody at NASA has a big S underneath their regular clothes.
Right.
And so these are, even though we want to think of them as super people, they are not. And they shouldn't have to be super people. That should have gone out with the original seven. And I really hope that Lisa Nowak can get some help. And I'm glad that the news went elsewhere.
Right.
To other issues, and can leave this good person to recover. And I think personally that they piled on a lot of charges there in Orlando, and I think this is going to work out eventually. But it's not something that I would go after as a cartoonist, because I don't think it's funny. I really don't think it's funny.
Yeah.
And I don't think that anything I could draw or write would help the situation at all for either NASA or for people on the outside. And it would be too cheap to go after. So the consequence of that is just stay away from it.
Now I'm going to ask you about, we're running low on time, but I do want to ask you about one more bottomless pit of entertainment value, and that is the Transportation Security Administration. And you recently got a little bit out of the aviation realm and got into their overreaction in Boston to the Cartoon Network promotion.
Yeah, well, the TSA, as with Homeland Security, 9/11, in my opinion, allowed a lot of people and a lot of groups to go for power that they couldn't get by other means, i.e. the election booth or the Congress in general. They went after power. They're consolidating power. And a lot of that comes through taking away liberty. Whenever somebody goes after power, they got to take away your liberty, or at least some form of it. And TSA could have done really good things. Homeland Security could do really good things. But, man, you have to watch them like a hawk, because absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I believe that with all my heart, that that's what happens. You have to watch these people. We have to be watchdog. And when TSA got to the point where they said, well, even the Congress doesn't have any jurisdiction over us, wait a minute,
yeah.
Then who does?
Yeah.
And that's when I started going after them. I did not make a lot of friends at TSA. I even had one very high-up person say that he wanted my head on a pike in his office.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get it, so he's subsequently gone to another job. But
well, and you know, talk about proving the point.
Well, it does. And now, there are good people at TSA. They have a really hard, monotonous job that they have to do. And passengers are, well, stupid for the most part. And they do stupid stuff. Now, people who are frequent flyers will stand in line and they'll see this stuff and they go, oh, not again. People who work for the airlines will see this stuff. Oh, not again. People like me, I go to the airport terminal. I keep all my metal, my watches, and everything else in my carry-on bag. It goes through, and I put it on the other side, and I don't have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if they ask me for additional screening, I cooperate. I give my additional screening, and off we go. But what I'm really concerned with TSA and DHS is it's like the movie Taps, where the army guy told his kid that, you know, they were holding a little fort that was their school, and he said, you've got all of your power nose-to-nose with cops, and your flanks are exposed. And that's what is going on with DHS and TSA, is they got most of their effort directed toward the people coming through those arches, and their flanks are exposed. And you can go by a lot of major airports and take a look and go, I could drive a truck right through there.
Right.
And the other problem that I have is the T in TSA means transportation. And as far as I've seen, after 9/11, most terrorist bombings and other acts like that haven't taken place on aircraft.
Nope. We have to screen people getting into Honda Civics. That's the real deal.
Honda Civics or rental vans or whatever. If you want to do it, then you better do it. But they really can't, because then that kind of goes a step too far. Now, instead of just hitting us in aviation and taking away our liberties, now you're taking away even more liberties, and that might take away their power. So it all comes down to the conflict theory of sociology. You know, people who have power want to keep it, and people who don't have power want to get it. And if you have to get it through something like 9/11 and go, well, we should come up with this, this, and this. I remember right after 9/11, what did they want to do? They wanted to stop us from being able to sell model rockets, for crying out loud.
Right, right.
Little tiny Estes model rockets. They didn't want you to ship those. You know, ATF said that, and ATF is still after the model rocket industry.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that, why? Well, it's because of 9/11 and terrorism. Well, wait a minute. I'm an American citizen. I'm not a terrorist. Just because I fly, I'm not a terrorist. Because I have model rockets, I'm not a terrorist. And that's where common sense has to come in. And when you have nothing but written procedures that you will follow blindly, you lose common sense. And when you lose common sense, you're going to lose liberty.
Wes Olszewski is the creator of the Clyde Morris cartoon strip, which has been around now for more than 30 years. You'll find it on our website at aeronews.net. And you'll also find extensive archives and the whole story behind Clyde at ClydeMorris.com. And it's Clyde spelled with a K. Wes, we really appreciate you taking some time out. We want to do this again sometime.
Hey, you got my number. You know where I'm at.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aeronews. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.